May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. We're experimenting with visuals, as you've realised. I think it's going rather well, don't you? Yeah, I think it's going rather well. And today you will have some visuals in the sermon, and I will try to always make sure that when I preach there is some visual stuff. Because when I went on my clergy conference, which I went on 2 weeks ago, I had to go away for 4 days with the bishop to learn how to become a better vicar. All the vicars, but not just me. It wasn't a remedial course just for me. All the vicars went on it in the whole of the diocese. One of the things that they told us was that we need to be more visual. We need to be more visual because we're not used to just being talked at for 20 minutes. Not that I would ever talk to you for 20 minutes. But they said it's always good for people to see something as well as to hear something. So we're going to see some of these things. Not masses of stuff, just occasional images. And so today we're going to look at this passage in Mark's Gospel where we hear that Jesus has got all the disciples together. They've been out, they've done a preaching tour, teaching, gone around doing all kinds of stuff. They come back to Jesus to tell him all that's been going on. He takes them aside for a bit of peace and quiet, and the crowds all gather around him. And you can imagine Jesus wanting to say, "Oh, go away, we're busy." But we're told that Jesus doesn't do that. He embraces the people who've come. And we're told that he regards them as sheep without a shepherd. And that he has compassion on the crowds. I often find when I'm organising a sermon and getting the stuff together, that it's helpful to go back to my old Greek books that I had when I was at college. And you go back and you look at the words which were written by the original gospel writers. Obviously, Mark didn't write in English. He didn't even write in the King James Version of the Bible, which sometimes people think the gospel writers did. They wrote in Greek, and we translate that. So you can go back and you can look at the original words which were used. And when we have this word compassion, which is used in Mark's gospel, the Greek word which is used means more, really, than the word compassion conveys in the English. It's splagnitsomai is the Greek word, and it kind of means being moved in your. It's about entrails, about being moved in your bowels. It's something deep inside you. I'll try to, you know, sometimes when we think of compassion, you know, if you go on a holiday to a foreign country and you see the way that, you know, some of the children live, and you perhaps drive past in the coach. And you feel sorry for people. Or sometimes if you see people on the television screen, you know, you might feel sorry for them, you might have compassion. But you're not actually moved in the way that this word describes. It's a depth of feeling. What it's saying is that Jesus looked at these folk and his stomach was upset. Does that kind of convey the mood, the feeling that Jesus had? His stomach was upset. He was so disturbed. You know, he had real depth of feeling for those people. And you know, why did he have such feelings for the crowd? Well, because, you know, it says he felt that they were without sheep without a shepherd. Who should the shepherds have been? Who should the people have been who to care for these people that Jesus felt so moved about? One was the authorities, and the authorities, of course, were King Herod. And you remember what King Herod did just earlier in the chapter? King Herod had killed Jesus' cousin John the Baptist. Do you remember he held this feast at which the daughter of Herodias, his wife, had danced, and he'd become all worked up and promised her, you know, whatever she wanted. And she said, "I'll have the head of King the Baptist." So you have this feast going on in King Herod's palace at which John the Baptist ends up losing his head. So the authorities were no good. And of course, Mark contrasted that terrible feast of Herod with the feeding of the 5,000 of Jesus. King Herod has this debauched black mass at which people get killed. And Jesus has this wonderful feast on the hillside where the crowds come to him and he feeds them. And he gives them the living bread. So you have these contrasts which are going on. So the authorities were useless. Then there's the religious leaders at the time. And we know what the religious leaders were like. We know what they thought about Jesus. In chapter 3 of Mark's Gospel, we read that Jesus went into the synagogue. And the religious leaders were watching him really closely to see what he would do, to see if they could catch him out. And Jesus went into the synagogue and he saw a man with a withered hand. And we're told they watched him really closely. And of course, Jesus went and healed the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath. And we were told that Jesus was grieved at the hardness of their hearts. Jesus was grieved at the hardness of the heart. So he felt that the religious leaders, who should have been caring for the people, behaving with compassion themselves, were instead really just looking after their own interests. And this is why Jesus felt that the folks were like sheep without a shepherd. They had no one to care for them. They only had people who were looking after their own interests. We tend to think of shepherds as compassionate people. We perhaps haven't got the understanding of shepherds that they would have had at the time, because we don't really have shepherds of that kind anymore. But shepherds were people who really cared, who looked after the sheep who were entrusted to them. And a shepherd has to have a compassionate heart, even a soft heart. And that's a kind of a word which, or two words which I feel reluctant to use this morning, but I think it helps us if we think of soft-heartedness. Because Jesus looked at the Pharisees and said they had hard hearts, and he wanted them to have soft hearts. Soft-hearted people, we often think of them as being a bit gullible, a bit daft. We say, he's too soft-hearted, or she's too soft-hearted, is what we sometimes say. We like the phrase tough love, because that kind of puts the two together, and that's okay. But soft-hearted people, we don't have much esteem for. But if you think about it, all the stories were told by Jesus about God show God as being soft-hearted. Soft-hearted. Jesus told stories which showed that God doesn't give up. He goes looking. Think of the shepherd who leaves the sheep behind and goes looking for the one who's lost. That's soft-heartedness. You know, it's not thinking, oh, I've got 99 here, I've got to look after. It's soft-hearted about the poor one who goes. Think of the prodigal son. An example of God's love. The prodigal son wants his father dead so he can spend all his inheritance, go and take all the money. He goes off with the money his father's given him, spends all, wastes it all. Then he expects to come back and just kind of start in. That's, the father welcomes it. That's soft-heartedness. And I suppose people who are parents can understand that, because we're all a little soft-hearted with our children. We let them have a bit too much leeway. They can sometimes take advantage of parents. Children, we are God's children. So God is, it's not perhaps too hard for us to understand that God can be soft-hearted with us. He cares. And in Jesus, we see God living a human life on earth, and we see God caring, showing that kind of compassion. We sometimes think that somehow, God will love us if we are better people than we really are. The more that we try, God will love us. I'm going to show some pictures now. I think four pictures. We've got the wrong image, I think, sometimes when we think of Jesus being the good shepherd. The second image which I've got, here's an image. The first thing is that Jesus has obviously been to some kind of hairdresser and had his hair done. It's a typical example of Jesus, you know, in history, the painting. He's got blonde hair. And this is the lamb, you see. And you think, well, it's a lovely lamb. I mean, who wouldn't love it? You know, you go take the children to one of these farms, and that's the kind of lamb you'd have, isn't it? Kind of a petting lamb, a lovely little lamb. And we think that this is the kind of sheep that Jesus will love. But actually, we're not given this example in the Gospels. Jesus loves sheep, not just the fluffy white ones. Let's have the next image. There's another typical icon. Again, you see Jesus with the fluffy little white lamb and carrying it home. And I was thinking, Jesus doesn't just love these kind of lambs. Let's have the next image, Mike. Here's a lamb. A nice lamb. Lovely, fluffy, white lamb. But Jesus has gone looking for it, because it's been a bit wayward, and it's got caught in a tree. Can you see Jesus trying to catch it? And the mummy lamb, down here, is looking up at Jesus, saying, oh, thank you for rescuing my little lamb. It's... it's a better image because at least it shows that the sheep has done something. You know, it's got lost. Let's have the next image. I was trying to think of naughty sheep. You know, and this is a naughtier sheep. You can see it's kind of obviously interesting. He's got stuck in a piece of wood. He's had his head where it shouldn't go. This is getting more like the kind of sheep that we need to think of ourselves as. You know, as the sheep. Jesus can love us even when we do. Let's have another one because I think this is the best. Now, this is a really naughty sheep because this sheep has actually got its head stuck in a hen house. And it's eating the hen's foods. Do you see? It's put its head in. And this is just a tatty old sheep. You know, it hasn't got beautiful white fur. Or do they call fur? Do sheep have fur? Wool. Hasn't got, yeah. This is how distant the whole imagery is to us these days, isn't it really? You can see it's a tatty old sheep, you know. And what we've got to try and remember is that Jesus loves the tatty sheep, the naughty sheep, the ones that get lost. Desmond Tutu, when he was talking about God as being soft-hearted, he said the wonderful thing about the good news is that Christ died for us in the condition that we are, while we're sinners. He said God did not wait until we were dieable for. God did not wait until we were dieable for, until we made ourselves good enough to earn his love. God loves us because he's soft-hearted and we're his children. And when we're, you know, in need, he feels with us. He goes looking for us when we are lost. And this is, you know, we use the word love so glibly. You can pop stars stand on stage and, you know, I mean, I remember going to see Kylie, and she said that she loved us. You know, she said, "London, I love you." You know, but and it meant a lot to me. But you know that actually she's not going to stay behind and sign your autograph book or anything. You know, let alone die for you. And when we hear about God's love, it's a really deep love. It's something that God is moved and is upset in his stomach when we're upset. Christ is moved that much. And this should be liberating news for us. We need to know that we don't have to have some kind of worth or try harder to be loved by God. So it's good news for people who are weak and vulnerable and upset. It's also good news for those people who think that, you know, God loves them because they've achieved such a lot in their life. You know, amassed a lot of money or earned a lot of degrees or whatever. It should be liberating for everybody. Jesus loves all sheep. The stupid sheep, the sheep that get into trouble. God loves them all alike. And the final message this morning is that that kind of compassion is something that we have got to share. We've got to somehow try and capture a little bit of that compassion ourselves. Because Jesus isn't around anymore to go telling people about how much God loves them and showing them God's care and compassion. That's our job. That's our job. So we need to hear the good news ourselves. And then we have to share it. We have to be the ones to take that message out. And I'm just going to leave you with a meditation, which we'll keep on the screen for a little bit. And that's the next slide. Be compassionate as Jesus compassionate. These are the words of Teresa of Avila. And they're wonderful words. And I just picked out the two words compassion that she uses in this prayer. Because she obviously understood something of that word. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. You are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. So yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he wishes to bless it, blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. And so it's our task to share this incredible love of Christ. And may our stomachs be moved as Christ's stomach was moved. May they be moved not just to the lovable, but to the unlovable. Those who we think, perhaps, how could Christ die for them? But of course, he does. Amen.